to Glow in the Dark.
Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. We are finishing up Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on this episode. We've got Chapter 29 and the epilogue. It is the end of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her. And so I'm not going to bother with a story so far today. It's the last chapter. You want me to summarize the whole book? With this chapter closing the novel out, you can now listen to the whole thing for free on this podcast. Just bounce back to episode 445. It's posted back at the end of August of last year, 2017. Or you can go back to episode 443 for Blind Eye and 444 for Vacation. Those are two standalone short stories. Or head all the way back to episode 423, and you can listen to the first Alibi Jones novel all the way through. So there are two whole novels available now on this podcast. And next week, we're going to get into the four-story cycle I like to call the Time War of the Devrisium. Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium. And then after that, we'll do Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. But first, let's finish this book. We've got Chapter 29, the final chapter, and the epilogue, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of news first. Balticon was awesome. Thanks again to John Walker and Lisa Alder Golden for making all the programming stuff work. It was a great time. Thank you to all my friends, my fans, my colleagues, everybody who was there, and everybody who always makes it very special. Thanks to you if you were there. I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to go this year, so I'm very glad that I was able to go, and thank you again, everyone, and a special thank you to my mom. She helped me with the finances so I could make it, despite my current circumstances. So, big thank yous all around for Balticon. In other news, now that this audio is fully edited, I've now uploaded Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her to Audible. So it's going to be coming out as an audiobook. And I do think this is the last re-editing I need to do. These next short stories and the next novel are more recent and they should be good to go. I sure do hope so, because that'd be good. I'd like to spend more time on new creativity and less time fixing up and re-editing old audio. I've been spending hours and hours re-editing audio for each of these podcasts. I'm hoping to now spend that time writing and creating new stuff. It had to be done. In order for the book to go up on Audible, the audio needed to be re-edited, and the only way I could put in the time required was to do a little each week. So, it's what it had to be. It is what it is, it was what it was, whatever. But I will let you know when the new audiobook is ready. That'll be the next big thing happening. That's enough for now. We'll hear from some friends of mine, and then we'll get into Chapter 29 and the epilogue of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Powered Time Machine podcast?
Yeah.
But he won't listen. He hates everything.
I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kinda accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the wait. GeekRadioDaily.com.
here's Chapter 29 and the epilogue of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Thomas's ship flashes out of transpace at the nearest transpace point to her. There's no sign of Lavalore's ship following. Alibi bristles when he sees the Sekta ships, the Greater Ta, in orbit around the Dakur's home. Kit arrives on the bridge as Alibi maneuvers their cruiser into its own orbit.
"The Greater Ta has made good on its threats," Kit says when he observes the armada around them. "Dakur is now part of the Greater Ta." Alibi nods. "I do not like this. My father and I will have words," Kit says.
"It's not his fault," Alibi says.
"He was wasting his time coming after me instead of doing his duty to Dakur," Kit says. "We will have words."
"Jeesh, Kit, your father helped me save you," Alibi says.
"Yes," Kit says. "I hold you responsible as well."
Kit's father gives the word, and their cruiser is cleared to land. Rakar leads the delegation that greets them when they disembark.
"Hello," the old catman says when he sees them.
Kit pretends he does not hear him.
"My ungrateful son," Rakar says, after Kit walks past him in silence.
"He said you would have words," Alibi tells Rakar. I guess just not now."
"I am sure he will speak his mind later," Rakar says, "in time. I owe you thanks, Alibi Jones. You have returned both a light in my life, my son, and the light of our world, the Sunrise of Her. You are once again welcome on Her."
"Thank you, Rakar," Alibi says. It means a lot to me."
"We have a quiet apartment arranged for you to stay the night and rest. There is food and an entertainment center with human selections. I hope you find it comfortable," Rakar says.
"So, wait, you're thanking me, Rakar, but I'm not welcome to appear in public?" Alibi is puzzled.
"Your presence is troubling to the Greater Ta. You annoy them, Alibi Jones. You are, they say, disorderly. They have agreed to allow you to visit, so long as we limit your contact and influence. I am no longer interested in annoying them by parading you around."
"I see. Well, thank you, Rakar, for your hospitality," Alibi says, trying to keep the sarcasm out of his voice.
"My son you call Cat will lead you to your apartment."
Cat leads Alibi to his quarters. They talk as they walk across the Capitol Plaza to a multi-species hotel that caters to the Dakur's alien visitors.
"So, you did it. I am surprised," Cat admits.
"Thanks for your confidence," Alibi says.
"It was not a lack of confidence in you," Cat says. "It is, however, hard to rescue someone who does not want to be rescued, who wishes he was dead."
"I wish you didn't feel that way," Alibi says.
"As do I," Cat says. "It is the fault of Lavalure. And that human woman Katarina as well,"
Cat opines. "Not her fault," Alibi says, objecting. "She didn't really belong to Lavalure. He had no right to try and claim her like that."
"It was her associations that brought tragedy to the day of joining," Cat says. "What should have been a day of joy instead became a day of despair. I will be glad to see both of you humans gone, for the doom you bring to my family."
Cat changes the subject.
"We are here."
"What?" Alibi says.
"We have arrived at your hotel," Cat says.
Alibi looks around. The hotel is a four-story droplet of creamy white and glistening glass rising up off the plaza. Cat leads him through the glassine doors of the hotel and directs him up a flight of white marble-like stairs. A nod from Cat to a Dakur seated in a prominent chair, and they pass into a long corridor lined with four doors.
"Here you are, Alibi Jones," Cat says as he opens the second door on the right.
The suite is luxurious and designed for a human occupant. The creamy white color scheme carries on into the room's interior design.
White everything? Alibi asks.
It is the White Hotel, Kat explains. It is renowned throughout the known universe. You are being honored by Rakar.
Good to know, Alibi says. Thank you, Kat.
The Dakur nods. He turns and walks back down the hallway. Alibi closes the door and surveys the room. There is a menu in the suite's kitchenette, as well as food in the cupboards and refrigerator. The bedroom has a massive king-size bed draped by a plush white quilt over white fuzzy blankets and silken cream-colored sheets.
The bed looks awful inviting.
Alibi doesn't even remember lying down when he wakes up in the middle of the night. He's still dressed. He peels off his clothes and climbs back in between the nearly frictionless satin sheets and falls back asleep. Alibi wakes before dawn. Unable to get back to sleep, he showers and gets dressed in a new jumpsuit he finds in the bedroom closet, navy blue and in his size. His stomach rumbles, so he explores the kitchenette and finds breakfast bars. He makes coffee, munching on a bar. Noticing the light starting to come up outside, Alibi takes his second cup of coffee out onto the hotel room's deck. Alone with his thoughts, Alibi Jones watches the sunrise of her. As he finishes the second cup, the room comm dings. Alibi comes back in off the deck to answer. Rakar is calling.
Alibi Jones, Rakar greets him. Good morning. I hope you had a good rest.
I did, Rakar. Thank you, Alibi says.
We have refueled and repowered your ship. It is ready and waiting for you.
Subtle. Maybe I'll yank his chain a little.
I don't know. This hotel is lovely, Rakar, Alibi says. It might be nice to stay here a while.
Oh.
Rakar is silent for a moment.
I do not know that the Sertar will be willing to allow you to do that, Alibi. I am sorry.
Alibi smiles an understanding smile for the old catman.
He was just completely honest with me. Gotta respect that.
I understand, Rakar, Alibi says. I'll be leaving soon, then.
My son will be at your hotel in a few minutes to escort you back to the port. I will see you off.
See you soon, then, Rakar. Alibi says. The comm shuts off.
Another toned ding announces his escort's arrival. Alibi assumed it would be Kat, but instead finds Kit standing in the doorway as he opens it, the son to which Rakar referred.
My father asks me to escort you to your ship, Kit says.
Thank you, Alibi replies.
Do not thank me, Kit says without emotion.
Without looking him in the eye.
Thank my father. Please follow me.
Kit leads Alibi to his ship, Brady Thomas's old ship, in silence. Rakar waits outside the vessel. Alibi looks around for Katie, but there's no sign of the girl. Kit sees him looking and finally speaks again.
Katie is staying with us here on her, he tells Alibi. My brother Kat is not happy about this. He wants to see the both of you gone. But there it is. Katie wants to spend some time on our planet. And she does not wish to travel with you any longer, Alibi Jones.
Oh, Alibi says, a little stunned. Not surprised, but hurt, all the same.
I am sorry, Kit tells him.
Don't be, Alibi says. I could kind of see this coming. Even when we were together, there was always, I don't know, something. I kept waiting for her to disappear again or get tired of me or... I don't know, Kit. I guess deep down inside, I just figured it wasn't meant to last. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I do not know about dropping shoes, Kit says. But I believe you may have brought about this ending through your anticipation of it.
Yeah. Self-fulfilling prophecy, huh?
Kit mulls over the words.
Self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yes, that sounds correct.
The shoe dropping is a human expression, Alibi tells the Catman.
I see, Kit says.
His furry brow furrows as he puzzles on the meaning.
No, I do not.
You know, Kit, Alibi says, if you ever need me, if you need my help, just pick up your wand and call, okay?
Thank you, Alibi, Kit says. I have been mourning and have not been entirely myself. I will call if I need your help. If anyone needs your help.
Thanks, Kit.
Alibi Jones,
Rakar says, getting his attention from the platform. Yes, Rakar.
Thank you again for bringing my son back to me, the old duck horse says. He may even come to forgive me for it someday.
Rakar hisses the Dakur equivalent of a laugh.
And thank you again, as well, for returning the Sunrise of Hur to us.
The Catman gives Alibi a slight bow. Alibi bows back. Thanks, Rakar. Alibi boards the ship and heads for the bridge.
Guess the ship belongs to me now. Brandy Thomas has no use for it anymore. Better yet, Brandywine won't be able to take this one away from me.
As Alibi reaches the bridge, his wand's alarm goes off. Adanita!
Alibi?
There's little emotion in her voice. I'm on my way back to Cat's Eye, just leaving her.
I heard, she says. Alibi, what do you know about what's happened on Kismet?
Kismet? Has something happened there?
I know that tone, Alibi, she says. Don't play dumb with me.
Well, Kit and Katie are both safely off Kismet, he tells her. So there's that.
The entire city has been destroyed, Alibi. Hundreds of people have been reported missing or killed. We don't usually go there, but the Safe has sent ships to help evacuate some of the survivors.
Really?
Really.
Alibi? His aunt leaves his name hanging in the air like a question. Then she asks, Is Katie with you?
She stayed on her, Aunt Anita, he tells her. Well, maybe that's for the best?
Maybe. I don't know. Alibi sighs. Aunt Anita?
What, Alibi?
Did they find Lavalure? On Kismet?
Not that I know of, she says. He's one of the missing.
Good, he says coldly.
Alibi, his aunt says tenderly. Why don't you come to Ceres Central for a visit?
Why? He asks.
Because you sound depressed, angry, she says. Come back home for a couple of weeks and recharge your batteries.
I will. But I'm going to stop at my place on Cat's Eye first, Aunt Anita, he says. I'll let you know when I'm coming.
Hope you do, hon. Anita out. She signs off.
Well, it is kind of nice to have someone thinking about me.
Alibi smiles.
Epilogue. Goddamn Alibi Jones!
Lavalure curses. He coughs up more blood and bile. He doesn't know how much longer he has to live. His bones are broken, his skin burned. His semi-mechanical men twitch and squirm around him, their human parts also now burned and broken. Their cruiser is twisted as if squeezed by a giant. It is Alibi Jones's fault. If Lavalure were not pursuing him, he would not have instructed his pilot to jump, even though the ship's engines were damaged. The damaged engines would not have thrown them here, into deep space, and would not have wrenched them from transpace with such great violence he and the crew lie dead and dying, broken and twisted inside the remains of their cruiser, in the middle of nowhere.
What is that noise?
Lavalure wonders aloud. In deep space, in the middle of nowhere, the hunger spies the morsel. The elite of the people hungers and finds the morsel. It does not distinguish between individuals, but instead finds cybernetic limbs and extensions in dead and dying flesh, and one living, twisted human mind. so hungry. Out of the pieces and parts, the elite assembles a host, a body to once again take a shape. It pulls apart and reattaches limbs and cybernetic attachments and creates a new whole. It builds the new host upon the brain, making the mind the control mechanism of the new mechanical form. The new beast has 6 legs and 2 pincer arms, and these support a metal mesh made of ship and body parts. Organic, metallic, carbon, silicon, no matter. The hunger consumes all. The cyber gristle gives form to the elite. For a moment. The hunger flexes and tries to move in its new form, but again, there is failure. There is naught that can contain the hunger, the energies the new elite of the people generate. They burn through their new form. The fragile brain turns to cinder. The mechanisms overheat, melt, and then vaporize in the zero gravity of deep space. The hunger, having consumed the morsel, continues on through deep space, still seeking sustenance and form in the middle of nowhere. For now.
That was Chapter 29 and the epilogue of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio. And that is it. The end of the novel. Alibi Jones, Book 2. In case you didn't quite understand what was going on in that epilogue, Lavalore and his men made a disastrous transpace jump. It left them dead and injured, and in the path of the remnant of the ancient enemy's elite that Azamet and his mistakes turned into the hunger. So Lavalore and his men and their ship was possessed for a short time and then consumed by the energies of the hunger. They were but a morsel to its immense need. The hunger will return. Alibi is returning to his place on Cat's Eye to check on things, and then he's going to head to his Aunt Anita's on Ceres Central. Katie seems intent on avoiding him, staying on her. And speaking of her, Alibi isn't sure what his favorite Dakor, Kit, is thinking about him now. But Alibi knows one doesn't simply shift from blaming someone for their bride's death, no matter how mistaken that belief was. They don't just go from that to welcoming someone back as a friend, so we'll see what happens there. But that's kind of where we're leaving things. That's where we'll pick them up as we get into the short stories of Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium. That'll begin next episode on Glow in the Dark Radio. There were 4 short stories. And I can reveal that they were originally written to be comic book stories. But because the stories themselves that were being drawn and prepared for the comic books were taking so long, I decided to publish these as short stories and rewrote them. Now, you can see the first of the stories in the Time War of the Devrisium in the comics. It is in The Adventures of Alibi Jones, Book 1. It's Maisha's second story in that issue. But that's where we'll pick things up. That'll be next time. We'll get into Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium and About Time on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. My thanks again to everybody involved with Balticon. Happened just a week ago. And I had a blast. It was awesome. It was what I needed. And it was great creativity and imagination sort of generation, you know? Just get you going. I like that. So I've uploaded the files for this book, this audiobook, to Audible, so this should be coming out very soon, and I'll let you know about that. You can read the book as an actual printed book. It is a paperback available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon and at Lulu.com. That's my printer. Or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com for any of my stuff. But yeah, this is a paperback. It's got a great cover by Federico Guillen. It's book two. And I hope if you liked what you heard, you might pick up a copy. It's an ebook too. You can get it as an ebook for your ebook reader, whatever ebook reader you have. And again, more links for everything at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. That's how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter too, after their.com/MikeLuoma. We have a Facebook page as well. Facebook page, Facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. And you can find me on Instagram as glowinthedarkradio. And again, we had the end of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her. If you want to hear the whole book, go back to episode 445, posted back at the end of August. You can hear the whole novel in its entirety, week by week. That is all for this time. Hope you can join us next week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.